If you'd like to turn to Proverbs, I'm going to start at verse 1. I know it's Easter Sunday, and if you thought I was going to preach on the cross, I'm sorry to disappoint. Tonight, I'm going to be speaking on words, spoken words, and what we do with them and how we do them. So, Proverbs. Starting at verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. Verse 4. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. And then verse 7. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. So, Solomon here is saying how we should speak and how we shouldn't speak. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Going back to when my daughters were in early teens, we used to have really big arguments. And I used to be under the impression that if they weren't listening, if I spoke louder, maybe they'd listen because I'm speaking louder. Doesn't work. And you usually end up saying harsh words. It doesn't work. We'll see when I go back into more scripture. If you've got a pen and paper, you might want to take some notes because there's a lot of scriptures to get through out of Proverbs here. And if you don't get them, come and see me afterwards. So that's a sort of grounding. And each one there, there's a positive and a negative. What to do, what not to do. So if you'd like to turn to Proverbs 25, I'm going to go through the not to do's first. So Proverbs 25, verse 18. Like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow is the man who gives false testimony against his neighbour. Here is a typical thing. Don't lie about people. Just before the meeting started, I think, what can I say about this? What's happened recently where false testimony has got somebody into trouble? Now, most of you that follow football will remember Ched Evans, who in 2012... was convicted of rape. He spent 2.5 years in prison for rape. The Court of Appeal quashed it and said he needed a retrial. At the retrial, he was found not guilty. So somewhere along the lines, somebody has given false testimony, and that man's life was ruined. And there will still be the stigma of being a rapist. I don't think most people will ever trust that name because of the label that he's been given. The time that he spent in prison will have been horrendous. People in prison for that sort of crime, crimes against children, rapists, is not a good time. And he spent 2.5 years there. So be careful in what you say to people. Do not give false witness. As a north wind brings rain, so a sly tongue brings angry looks. So, do you want to be sly in what you're saying? Do you want to bring anger? Turn to 26, verses 4 and 5. These look like a contradiction, but I'm going to read them to you. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. But then it says, answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. It looks like a contradiction, but it isn't. The first one is telling you not to argue with somebody. When you argue with somebody, you are more likely to bring yourself to their level. And arguments don't go well. Just to give you an example, I used to be a member of the Christian Motorcyclists Association. And we used to meet with some guys from North Cheshire. One of the guys there, his testimony was he used to do the reverse of Bible bashing. He used to read the Bible, seek out Christians to argue with. So he was doing the opposite of what the scripture's telling us to do. And he did it, and he did it, and he did it. And eventually, God softened his heart. It was through reading the word that he got saved. It wasn't through the arguments that the Christians could give him. It was through him reading the word and beginning to fully understand it. It was God changed his heart, not the person who was arguing with him. If anything, the people that were arguing with him gave him fuel to carry on arguing. So, when you come to verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, or he'll be wise in his own eyes. For me, that is someone who has got a misunderstanding of scripture. And if you can correct them gently, then that is the answer to that scripture. So yes, there is a time and a place when somebody has got something wrong to say something, but it's not about arguing. So again, it's down to what we say and how we say it. James 3 talks about the tongue. I'll just quickly turn to it. Verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Telling us here, if we are a follower of Christ, we have to be very careful in what we say. We cannot curse people. We cannot put people down. God's word is there to help us see who Jesus is, what he's done for us, and it's there to educate and give us that knowledge and that wisdom. Nigel's spoken about wisdom and folly, and I'm going to touch on some of that as we go through tonight. Especially now, I'm going to go through quite a few number of scriptures from Proverbs about the fool. So, 10, verse 8. The wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. Verse 10. He who winks maliciously causes grief, and a chattering fool comes to ruin. Again, a chattering fool. Verse 14. Wise men store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. Verse 18. He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. 14, verse 7. Stay away from a foolish man, for you will not find knowledge on his lips. Verse 16. A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is a hothead and reckless. Don't know why I got that one in. 15, verse 14. The discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. 17, verse 7. Arrogant lips are unsuited to a fool. How much worse lying lips to a ruler? 19, verse 1. Better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. 26, verse 7. Like a lame man's legs that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. And then verse 9. Like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. And then 29, verse 20. Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him. 12 verses there that tell you about making a fool of yourself with what you're speaking. Sorry, lost where we're going. There we go. Right, back to Proverbs verse 26, verse 20 to 26. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Like a coating of glaze over earthenware are fervent lips with an evil heart. A malicious man disguises himself with his lips, but in his heart he harbours deceit. Though his speech is charming, do not believe him, for seven abominations fill his heart. His malice may be concealed by deception, but his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Here it's talking about gossip and about what happens with gossip. After Friday night's meeting, I've gone home, usual, Facebook, internet, and I read on there, a friend that I know has just been sent to prison. And that's the first I knew about it, because I've read it in the newspaper. And I thank God that nobody had come up and started spreading malicious rumours about him. And yes, he's been convicted and gone to prison. But if somebody had come up to me and started saying, oh, have you heard about this man? He's done this and he's done this and he's done this. Then that would have changed my attitude towards that person. That person is still my friend and I will still call him my friend. Yes, he's made some stupid errors and it's cost him. But he's still my friend. And I think if somebody had been spreading words of gossip about him, then maybe that wouldn't be so. And I'm just thankful that next time I see him, and I will see him again, I can still shake his hand and I can still treat him with respect because he's paid the price of what he's done. Back to Proverbs 2. And this is going back to what Nigel was preaching about, wisdom. From verse 3. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And if we go, turn to James 1, verse 5, it puts it even simpler. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all, without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Before we open our mouths in any sort of conversation, before we speak in haste, let's seek God's wisdom. Let's seek those words of knowledge. But there is a way. God may give you a word of knowledge, but sometimes you need wisdom on how to give it. Johnny will know this one. Quite a few years ago, I did the regional church training program. And one of the teachers there was speaking a little bit about this subject. And he was telling us, he was at a funeral. I think he was taking the funeral. And the lady, had either just lost her second or third husband. They'd all died. God gives him a word of knowledge. This lady's going to get married again. It's going to be soon. How do you tell the lady that that's going to happen when she's at her husband's funeral? You don't. He prayed, and all he said to her was, God's told me that he's going to bless you. And he left it at that. 6 months later, he gets a knock on his office door. It's the lady. I want to get married again. And then he was able to share what God had shared with him 6 months earlier. But it's having that wisdom on how to share that word. Carol, just want to share what you shared with me earlier.
During worship, I had a picture, an image of this source of white light, what appeared to be white light, and it was just, like as you get a torch, it was shining up. It was so intense, it was just sort of going up. And I had the word fountain. So this source was not just light, it was water, and I believe it was Jesus. Jesus was the source of living water, and it was a fountain that was projecting so intensely that it was splashing and it was actually affecting people around this source. But I felt that God was saying, or God was showing me, that people had to come. Not only do we do get affected by the offspill of this water, as you know, like in the normal world, when we turn on a tap or we see a water fountain, it does spill out everywhere. But we needed to come to plunge ourselves in this source. And in fact, there were people there who were actually putting in containers, vessels, and they were not just, you know, taking a little spoon and drinking from it. They were actually using ladles. So that's what I was shared. We need to actually come to Jesus and immerse ourselves and be touched by Jesus and take in huge quantities of Jesus.
This is the source of that light. I've been speaking about words. God will give us wisdom. But when you ask for it, he may not give you the words that you want to hear. He may say, they're here. I've already given you that knowledge and that wisdom. You just need to find it for yourself. It's not about God giving us everything. We have to play our part as well. And if we don't read the word, then we can't expect to understand the knowledge and the wisdom that God wishes to impart to us. Proverbs 25, verse 11. And I'm going to finish with these as words of encouragement. Verse 11. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. Like the coolness of snow at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the spirit of his masters. And then verse 15. Through patience a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Words spoken can affect anybody and everybody, and we have to be careful in what we speak. The words spoken in the right manner and the right way will bless and edify. And I hope what I've said tonight has blessed and edified you.